It's good to be with you this morning. It's probably been nearly 3 years since I've done my last deputation coming round. I've seen a few of you, perhaps, over the last couple of years as I've come back occasionally. So I want that God to remember, speak slowly and speak in English. That's it. So I'm going to put the first slide up. This is the banner that hangs outside my church in Lima, advertising both the services in Mission Shalom, the church that I run, and also the therapy centre, which we have there in the shanty town. So my ministry, that's why I chose that reading about Mephibosheth, who was crippled, because that's the ministry that God has called me into. That wasn't what I went to do 17 years ago when I first went out to Peru, but it's something that God's put onto my heart and has really developed. So I'm in a community serving God with children with disabilities and also with adults and adults with learning difficulties. Next slide, please. This is a lovely picture of one of our children's brothers, sisters, Marianne, who drew this picture last year of Shalom, the lovely building which we rebuilt 3 years ago. We had a small building, just two stories, which wasn't very adequate, no disabled bathrooms. And so raised funding, of which you donated as well, to produce this purpose-built building. And there we are, and that's her bringing her cousin Adrian in his wheelchair across to Shalom, the building where the cross hangs high in that shanty town. And that's how Shalom started, just by finding a wheelchair for someone called Austin, who had cerebral palsy, was tied into a chair, and that's how the Shalom ministry started back in 2000. So just when I started there, God really raised that awareness of that ministry of people needing crutches, therapies, wheelchairs, a place to come and feel like home. And that is what Shalom has become for many people. They come in every day, drop in to our centre, and it's a community there in the shanty towns. Next picture. This is a picture I found in the archives. That's me there, shorter hair, looking a bit younger. And our first team, there's Louisa next to me, who's still there. Etelvina, who I'm going to talk a little bit about, looking much fatter. She's much slimmer now. And our first therapist, Ruth, there in the foreground, who gave her time 10 years ago, just two afternoons, to work with some children in physical therapy. And the two young girls are both, one is Melanie's Etelvina's daughter. The other one has a brother who's learning difficulties. And they're both now in university. So time has passed, and Shalom continues to grow. Next picture, please. This is us on our roof. You can see a bit of the shanty town in the background. This is myself and some of the young people in Shalom who come for activities. So we're very busy. I'm the priest in charge of the church, the administrator for the project, and a few other hats that I wear when I'm not so busy in Shalom. So it's a great time, and it's a great time in the diocese as well. Last year, our bishop of 18 years left, and we have our first Peruvian bishop. And I will tell you a little bit about that at the end as we go through. Next slide, please. So that slide in the middle says, Todos sí podemos, together we can. And that's kind of the atmosphere Shalom wants to promote. And a bit about how giving back people dignity, restoring people, like we heard in that reading, Mephibosheth alone thinking that he's a dead dog and not really thinking that anybody can look at him or have any value in him. And that's what Shalom has been raised up to give dignity to people with disabilities. Here it's great to see disabilities more encouraged in the community. In Shalom, people are still hid away and people are still not really given the benefit that the facilities they need to live their life within the community. So this is some of our young men on a street parade saying, we can together. And that's what Shalom tries to do in that community. Give people dignity, give people worth, and give people somewhere to come. Next slide, please. This is some Easter baskets we made in our Shalom. And again, that time over Easter, thinking of death and new life, new beginnings, God's provision to us. And it's interesting coming to this now to England to hear about this new initiative, Thy Kingdom Come, bringing God's kingdom into our lives, into our beings, seeing God transform people's lives. Sometimes it's very slow, sometimes it's a great struggle, and sometimes it is with sadness as well that we struggle with people alongside. Next slide, please. This is a team of some of the therapists we have. I have seven Peruvian staff that I manage in Lima, physical therapists, occupational therapists, speech therapists and psychologists and centre administrator. We've got a growing team, so there's much more to be doing. And these are people that are helping everyday children in our centre to gain new skills and also help parents come to terms with having a child with learning difficulties or with special needs. Next slide, please. This is Louisa talking to one of the mums. That's our schedule behind on the wall. We work Monday to Friday, three mornings a week and every afternoon. And at the moment, we have 105 children on our books. So we're a very busy centre, a very well-known centre, and don't often have that space for new children. Next slide, please. This is some occupational therapists and new equipment we just purchased. So our main emphasis really is therapy for children during the week. Next slide, please. This is Carlos. He's got cerebral palsy, but a lovely young lad comes with his stepfather and his mum every three times a week to therapy. Next slide. This is our language therapist working with Jose André. Next slide, please. And Alberto, our physical therapist, working with, again, Jose André in physical therapy. Next slide, please. And again, that's Camilla. She's got spina bifida, just learning some leg strengthening exercises. And that's Daisy being strengthened further. And another new lad. Can we just stop there? Can we just stop back the last one? Sorry. Can it stop? It's running away with itself. That's okay, but stop there. So again, as we reflected on that Easter basket of life and death and God breaking into our lives, go on to the next one, that's fine. That's great. We celebrate Mother's Day, the American style, in May. So my last Sunday was Mother's Day, and this was part of our celebrations. So there we've got Edison, Andres, Camila, and Miguel celebrating with them. There's always a big juicy cake, isn't there? I mean, I think people say, Mary and Ian, always eating cake and always. And that's something as well that I want to focus on from that reading. Four times it mentions that Mephibosheth was sitting at the table to eating at the king's table. And food is very important, and coming together as family is very important, and feeling we have a place in God's kingdom. And today we're being invited to come as well to the table of the communion to share in that feast that God has prepared for us. And it really is a foretaste of what God is providing for us in the kingdom. And we want to see God's kingdom breaking into our lives here, but knowing full well that we won't have the plenitude of that kingdom until we meet Jesus face to face. Face to face. And the little boy, Miguel, if we have the next slide, please. This is him at his baptism. He was baptized in a local Roman Catholic church, and we attended him. And this is his mother, Elena, who again had been a very dear friend to us, who died 3 weeks ago of breast cancer. And Miguel is now being brought up by his aunt. And but it was a great privilege. 3 weeks ago on a Sunday, we went to visit Elena. I gave her a holding cross that she had in her hand. She was not really with it very much, and prayed with her. And that reading had been that day was of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, calling people to him and then recognizing his voice. And just prayed for Elena that she would hear God's voice and that she would respond to that. And the very next morning, we got a call that she had died. And a privilege to be able to share with somebody in their last moments of life, knowing that there is a greater kingdom that he has prepared for us. So Elena, we went again, shared with the family the next day in her funeral. The next slide, please. Again, another great sadness that came over us last year was Etavina, one of the founding members of Shalom, and a great, my right hand and left hand and everything to me in my churches, and her husband, Faustine. And I sat with that lady for many, many years, every Thursday praying, and she prayed dearly for her husband to become a Christian. And about 3 years ago, he did. He came to church and began to be very involved in ministry and Jesus, really living out Jesus in his life. And very sadly, I got a call December the 3rd, I think it was, last year, that he had just dropped down dead, had a heart attack, and rushed to the morgue and there gathering the family. But in the services we had for Faustine, Etavina and her daughter Melanie both spoke of how great it was. Their memory was the last 3 years of their father's life, that he was with them, living out his Christian life alongside them. And as I was walking back from the morgue with Etovina, she said, you know, God's called him to something better. God has decided that was the time that he was to go. And we just don't know when God is going to call us, what God is calling us to be with him. And Etovina continues very strongly on in her faith, and we ask the community to support her. Next slide, please. And this is Faustine a few years ago at the youth event, encouraging the football team. So again, that's the memories that we have of him, that the last few years he was very involved in church life. He was very active in all that he was doing. Next slide, please. The other great celebration we had, many of you know that we built the building, paid the money, didn't get the lift, and somebody walked off with $6,000. Well, last year, finally, we got the lift installed, and it now works up and down to the fourth floor. So the next slide, please. We had a great celebration, and for the first time, our friends in wheelchairs, next slide, could get up onto the roof and look at the great view we have all around the shantytown. Next slide, please. I don't know whether these are going to work, but we have got a video, but I think it's not going to probably play, is it? No? No, okay. So there's Nicole and her father going from her therapy into the lift. Next slide, please. And that was going to be opening and showing them coming out, but it doesn't matter. Next slide. And so this is going up onto the roof to use benefit of the youth. We've got the patio upstairs. We've got a great space up there, great view, and it's great to be able to have that space to be able to use all the building. Next slide, please. We celebrated back in March the day of Down syndrome. So this is our youngest member, Christopher, with our oldest member, Carmen, who's 52. And we had a great fun day doing things together back in March. Next slide, please. This is another family with their young child, Dana, with Down syndrome. And we've seen new people coming to the church in this year. So part of the same, our main focus is the therapies, but the church is growing. I heard last week, our new bishop was speaking at Shalom last week, and Louisa said that we'd got three new people just come in. So that was great. So next slide, please. Back in March, Dana, the little girl who's three, and her older sister, Valeria, were baptized in Shalom. I had the privilege of baptizing them. Next slide. And again, a great, nice, gooey cake. And there's Dana with her two sisters. Next slide, please. And that's the whole family. And that's the godmother, Sherry, who's a friend from America who comes and does mission with us. So there's Dana and their family at baptism. So they're a new family coming in through the project into the church community. Next slide, please. This is a dear young man, Ricardo, who started coming to church last year. He's 27. And he was baptized at the end of April. Next slide, please. And it's great to see how he gave his testimony and how he is really blossoming in his faith with Jesus. He's just waiting to get his disabled registration so that he can get a job and be employed. Next slide, please. A few months back, we had a great problem in Peru. We had a terrible landslides, lots of rain, where the water was cut off. And thankfully, Shalom had a very large reservoir underneath. So it was really strange, really, how it happened. That reading, again, was John 4, where they drew water from the Samaritan woman for the well. And after the service, I opened up the doors and everybody came with their buckets to draw water out of our well. And I was able to share that gospel story with them. I thought, well, that was God's timing. It was great at that time. So people, the pump wasn't working. So they all came with their bottles and their things, and we just spent like 2 or 3 hours draining our cistern for the whole neighborhood. So then we closed the doors, and then the next morning at 5 o'clock, I heard somebody banging on the door saying, agua, agua, water, water. I think, no, I'm not giving you water now. And they were actually telling us that the water had arrived and we now had water. So the next hour you heard people's just taps opening up and they were filling everything they could fill. So that was a great blessing that we could minister to the community there. Next slide, please. This is another chap of guy in my church, Freddie, whose mother was starting to come, and he's just been recently coming. Became a Christian at the middle of April, just before Easter. And a guy, 54, had a stroke and is really trying to cope with not being able to do anything. He's walking around the park and trying to get back into doing things. But somebody's really seeking for God and wants to come. Can you teach me the Bible today? Can you come and pray today? So really pray that people can carry on ministering to him in his need at the time. Next slide, please. And again, Lourdes, again, a new member of church, came last year, who's been, who was widowed, and they're just rebuilding her small house, about a 5 metre by 3 metre. And she's just rebuilding that house with the help of Ricardo and Dana's husband, father as well. So again, the community working to help each other. Next slide, please. This is our new bishop. Our previous bishop, Bishop Godfrey, left last April, retired after just over 18 years in Peru. And this is Bishop Jorge Aguilar. He came into our diocese from the Roman Catholic Church probably in 2003, and he's been serving with us. And it's been an amazing year of his first year of being bishop with us. God has worked greatly in his life, and he has really surprised us in many ways. He's very hands-on. After he was ordained diocesan bishop last July, the first place that I want to go to Shalom, because I feel that's where God is present and active, and is now showing of God's love for our people. So he came and did his first service as diocesan bishop in Shalom, which is a great privilege. And he came last week and is going to come through the remaining weeks. So we just did a course back in February. And so please pray for our new Bishop Hawkey. I'm going to talk a little bit about him this evening if you're going to come, and what his work is. But he's looking at re-evaluating, consolidating, re-equipping, and really just looking at the future of our church. Next slide, please. We were started a couple of years ago doing an audit of the diocese called Christian Life and Fellowship. And they've come up with this six-stranded cross about our basis of what our diocese should be based on. We've got the three horizontal strands about personal relationship with Christ, the importance of the scriptures, and the importance of church. And then the vertical stripes are our personal prayer and spirituality, our beliefs, and our testimony and living out our faith. And so that is like the model that we are working on, and that is kind of running through all that we do as a diocese. And I want to say, I want to share a little bit about that with you later on. Next slide, please. And that is within the circle of knowing more, training people up, growing, communicating. And really, that is that cross in the centre is being part of what we are doing, trying to get God's kingdom come into our lives and into our churches. One thing I was going to mention at the beginning, when I first went out to Peru after going into ministry, I was running two churches in Nazareno and in Shalom. It was quite a lot of work. I'm not sure how I managed it now, looking back. And when I went back after last home leave at the end of 2014, the second day I was home, I was running off to a Bible study, fell down the stairs and broke my foot, if you can remember that. I'm still all dancing or singing now, but I've still got a nice metal thing in my ankle which beeps as I go through the airport security. And as part of that accident, I then stopped going to Nazareno and just concentrated on Shalom. And there was somebody left in charge of Nazareno who is now no longer there. And a very good friend of mine, Juan Carlos Marcez, is now looking after the church there in Nazareno, and we're working very much together. So it's great that that's happening. And really, I want to just thank you really for your faithfulness in prayers. And as I stood and worshipped this morning, it's the first time I've actually worshipped in English for quite a long time, probably almost a year. And it's great how when I come to England, God really speaks into things that I'm thinking of. And I'm praying that this will, what I can share with you today, and leaving you with that challenge of letting God's kingdom impact our lives. And what I always feel, that's why I chose that reading this morning. Perhaps I've not alluded to it as much as I would have perhaps thought about, but that you will sit at God's table. And it's making God's table, God's family, open to everyone. Everybody in the community, everybody in our families, everybody around the world. And letting God's kingdom come into that place. And I was reading online, I hadn't heard much about the Archbishop of Canterbury's initiative between this Ascension Day and Pentecost. But I read it online and I was really impacted about how we as Christians need to impact our communities. In Peru, I feel that we are kind of a community. My church people come from various small areas, but perhaps as in churches gather, we perhaps have lost that sense of community. We're not all living just around the corner anymore. But just encouraging us to go into the community around the cake. And I was encouraged when Helen said that she takes cakes to the local homeless people and they come into church. And things like that are so important. And again, as I was reminded as we share communion this morning, that God invites each one of us to be part of his family. He invites us to be part of that kingdom. He invites us to be partakers in his blessings. And we need to be open that God will reveal and do things to our in our lives. I remember one time I was translating in a campaign giving out wheelchairs. And I looked around and saw so many struggling mums with their children with disabilities. And I said, you know, why doesn't just God just come and heal all these people right now? And one mother said to me, but if God had healed my child, I probably wouldn't have come to church. I wouldn't have looked for that reason. I wouldn't have come to look for God. I wouldn't have come to look for that strength. And that's one positive way of seeing that. But then sometimes I think many people are hurting and have been kind of felt like they've been dealt a bad hand in life and perhaps blame God for some things. And they're the people as well. We need to go out and reach out because God, even in their distress and in their problems, God wants to reach out to those people and bring them into his kingdom. And at the moment, I'm just reading the Bible in a year, cover to cover, and we're going through Job. So it's quite a long slog. I was reading this morning about 5 chapters of Job. And again, that whole question of why is there suffering? Why are some people? Why is this happening to me? And that's, we can all say that in some respects. But just know that God is that good, good father. God is that good, good dad who is always there for us. And no matter what has happened in our lives, he is saying, come to my table, come to my family. There is a place for you. And I pray that as we share together today in the communion table as well, that we will remember that God sent Jesus to die for each one of us. God sent Jesus to die for all of us and for all those in the world that have questions, that have doubts, and that are suffering in some way. So let's know that God's kingdom is breaking into our lives, and may we be part of that to sharing God's kingdom with others. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for the power of your resurrection in our lives. And we thank you for the power of your presence and your sacrifice in the communion. And we pray today that we would let your kingdom come in our lives to heal our wounds. And that you would let God's kingdom come in our way that we worship and as we live our lives. So that others who are hurting, others who have questions, others who are feeling damaged and let down, would know that there is a God who loves them. There is a God who sent their son to die for them, so that they may have kingdom life now and the gift of eternal life in the future. We just thank you and praise you, Jesus. Amen.